We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. This morning, text number 15. Evam dvijagranun mata nivritta dharma pradano nyatamo vitashya Rasvena kalena grehopayatan Drashtasi siddhan anurakta loka Translation. Lord Vishnu continued, My dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciplic succession, by hearing from master to disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them, without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you, and very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Then, in whatever capacity one remains within this material world, his salvation is guaranteed after death. In this age, however, since the system of Varnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, it is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. The only method for becoming perfect in life is to develop Krishna consciousness. As Varnashram Dharma is executed from different positions by different men, so the Krishna conscious principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. Again, I'm going to go through the purport paragraph by paragraph. So, in this first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that it's not possible to apply the principles of Varnashram Dharma in this age of Kali Yuga. Lord Buddha has already led the people away from Varnashram. That happened 2,500 years ago. Lord Buddha came to lead people away from the Vedas. In fact, it was a revolt against the social system. Lord Buddha himself was born in the royal family, in the family of Kshatriyas. And he revolted against the Brahmanas because the Brahminical order had become corrupted and degraded. So this is the problem with the Varnashram Dharma system. This is one problem, that it's very difficult to stop people from becoming corrupted. The Brahmins in general can be easily corrupted because it's rare to find qualified Brahmanas. Brahmanas are also thinking to get rich. A Brahmana should actually be interested only in spiritual advancement, and he should not be concerned about his material welfare. His interest is just, he's on the path of Brahman. He knows Brahman. In other words, he's realized that he's not the body, that he's a soul. He's meant to be detached from the body and from all the things in relation to the body. If a Brahmana, a so-called Brahmana, is simply interested in his own material profit, then he's not a proper Brahmana. He's cheating, he's misleading, he's not properly qualified to lead the people. So this is one of the problems with trying to institute Varnashram, that there are no qualified Brahmanas, neither are there qualified Kshatriyas though. That's also a problem, that you don't find anyone who is very heroic, who really wants to go out there and lead the people and lead them according to the instructions of Brahmanas. There's meant to be cooperation between the different orders of life. There is an equality between the different orders of life. It is not that one position of society is higher than another. The tendency is to think that if someone's a Brahmana, then he is higher than the other people. But actually, spiritually, people are equal. And based in terms of the spirit soul, they're equal. The Brahman, the Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra are all meant to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. So the whole purpose of the Varnashram is that it's meant to organize people in such a way that they will gradually be elevated to understand the purpose of life. Therefore, Prabhupada says in this age of Kali, we haven't got time to try to reinstitute Varnashram Dharma. It would be very difficult for people to follow all the different rules and regulations, and people would have so many wrong understandings about the system anyway that it would be practically, it's impossible to try to reintroduce it. But what can be done is that people can take to Krishna consciousness. And in this way, they can fulfill the higher purpose of Varnashram. The whole purpose of the Varnashram Dharma system was to lead people to the ultimate spiritual welfare, to understand the goal of life. Under the direction of qualified Brahmanas, they would know their purpose in life is to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, since we cannot institute Varnashram Dharma, what we can do is simply introduce Krishna consciousness. Give everyone a chance to become a devotee of Krishna, and let everyone, in whatever position they are, learn how to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And then this will be very good for the society. Prabhupada says the Krishna consciousness principles, these principles can be followed all over the world by people everywhere, in every position of society. There's no discrimination against anyone. Lord Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Striyo Vaishastata Sudras Tepi Yanti Paramgati, that even one may be of lower birth, like women, Vaishya or Sudra, that still they can approach, they can attain the supreme destination. So in this way, the Krishna conscious process is for everyone. Whatever position, whatever their background or social circumstance, in any part of the world, they can take up Krishna consciousness and make spiritual progress. So this is how we could properly organize the society for the benefit of people. Srila Prabhupada goes on. There is a specific purpose in mentioning herein that one should follow the Dvijagriyas, the most prominent Brahmanas, like Parashara and Manu. These great sages have already given us instructions in how to live according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami have given us rules and regulations for becoming pure devotees of the Lord. It is essential, therefore, to follow the instructions of the Acharyas in the Parampara system, who have received the knowledge as passed down from spiritual master to disciple. In this way, although living in our material condition of life, we can get out of the entanglement of material contamination without leaving our positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, therefore, that one does not have to change his position. One simply has to hear from the perfect source. That is called parampara. And follow the principles for practical application in life. Thus one can attain the highest perfection of life, liberation, and go back home, back to Godhead. In other words, the change required is a change in consciousness, not in the body. Unfortunately, in this fallen age, people are concerned with the body, not with the soul. They have invented so many isms pertaining to the body, not to soul. So Srila Prabhupada, in line with this verse, this instruction is given here by Lord Vishnu to Maharaj Prithu, that he should follow in the line of the great sages such as Manu and Parasara, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, because Parasara and Manu, they explained how to follow the system of Varnashram Dharma. But since we're not following the system of Varnashram Dharma, we're going to follow the system of Krishna consciousness. We have to follow, therefore, the authorities of the Krishna conscious process. And our acharyas are Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who were the principal disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established the cult of Bhakti Yoga. He has taught everyone how to take up Krishna consciousness in line with the teachings of Lord Sri Krishna, just as Lord Krishna taught in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita instructed Arjun that he should give up all material religion and surrender to Krishna. And Krishna said, "I will protect you, do not fear." So Krishna had given the instruction to surrender, but he did not have an opportunity to display how to surrender. Therefore, Krishna came again just 500 years ago in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his purpose in coming was to show how to surrender to Krishna. And this is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada is emphasizing that just as Lord Krishna did not tell Arjuna to change his position, Krishna simply told Arjuna, rather Krishna told Arjuna he should do his duty. He didn't want Arjuna to give up his duty. But he wanted Arjuna to change, to do his duty in consciousness of him. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasizes, when he was talking with Ramananda Rai, there was discussion about what is some statement from the scriptures about the highest goal of life. So Ramananda Rai gave different suggestions. He began with Varnashram, and then he suggested Karmarpana, offering the results of one's work to Krishna. And then he suggested Swadharma Tyag, giving up one's occupational duty. But Lord Chaitanya rejected all of these, and then he suggested Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and Lord Chaitanya rejected that also. And finally Ramananda Rai suggested pure bhakti, pure devotional service. And he quoted a verse from the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma instructs, Lord Brahma is speaking to Lord Krishna actually, and he's describing how one can conquer the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is Ajita, he becomes conquered by the pure love of his devotee. And Lord Brahma describes the process of achieving that pure love. And the process is that one should hear about Lord Krishna in the association of devotees. One should hear and at the same time give up all attempts of fruitive activity or philosophical speculation. He should simply hear in the association of devotees. He should strictly follow the principles of religion. And there is no need for him to change his position. He should remain in whatever position he is in. Just as Ramananda Rai was a grihastha, Lord Chaitanya didn't tell him that you should take sannyas and be like me. No, Ramananda Rai was a grihastha, But Lord Chaitanya was happy to hear topics of Krishna from his mouth. Lord Chaitanya instructs us, Kiba vipra kiba nasi sudra keni nai ye Krishna tatvavet se guru hai. That it does not matter what position one is in life. One may be a learned brahmana like a vipra, one may be a renounced person like a sannyasi, or one may be an ordinary sudra, a laborer person. But if one knows the science of Krishna, if one is versed in Krishna tattva, then that person is qualified to become guru, spiritual master. The qualification to be spiritual teacher is not based on the color of cloth. It is not based on one's social position, but it's based on his knowledge of scripture. That is important. Knowledge of scripture, and also he should be a controller of the senses. He should be instructed in the scriptures in the line of the disciplic succession. Rupa and Sanatan, in presenting the teachings of Bhakti Yoga, did not present their own concocted philosophy, but they presented everything in line with the revealed scriptures. In the Goswami Astikam, it is stated, Nana Shastra Vicharinai Kanapano Sadharma Samstapano. That the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, headed by Rupa and Sanatan, utilized their time in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. So Prabhupada says, we don't need to do any more research. We don't need to spend our time researching the absolute truth. That's already been done for us by the Goswamis. They have researched everything for us, and they have given us the Bhakti Shastras, the teachings of Bhakti Yoga in their writings, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, written by Rupa Goswami, and Brihat Bhagavat Amrita, written by Sanatana Goswami, and the Sandarbhas, written by Jiva Goswami. And these books explain to us everything we need to know about Bhakti Yoga. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, of course, also written by Sanatana Goswami, describing the behavior of a devotee of Krishna. So we need to be familiar with these things, and we need to follow these instructions. This way we can be sure to make spiritual advancement. It is stated, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidimbinam Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpateyaiva Kaupate. That if one performs devotional service which is not according to the instructions of scriptures, like this Shruti and the Shrutis and the Puranas and the Itihasas, then it is simply a disturbance to society. We cannot concoct our own form of devotional service. We have to execute devotional service exactly in the line of the previous acharyas. Just as we were speaking yesterday about the importance of following the Mahajans, so the same conclusion is made here today in Lord Vishnu's instruction to Prithu Maharaj, that Prithu will be the perfect ruler if he follows the instructions of the previous acharyas. We don't have to invent anything new. However, this requires one has to hear. You have to hear, and you have to hear through the disciplic succession. However, Prabhupada says it's unfortunate in this age that people have concocted so many of their own ideas. You have, Prabhupada says, so many isms, humanitarianism, communism, socialism, and all of these different isms, which are all based on the body. They're all centered on the body and things, the external, the extended body, in the form of my society or my country or my race, like that. So this is the material philosophy. Material philosophy cannot save us from the problems of life. We need a spiritual solution. And this spiritual solution is obtained in the scriptures. So this is the point that we have to hear from the scriptures as the scriptures are presented by great acharyas like Rupa and Sanatan. And if we hear from them and follow their teachings, then there can be some good result in the world. People can be peaceful, their lives can be successful. Srila Prabhupada goes on in the purport. He says, in the modern age of democracy, there are so many government representatives voting for legislation. Every day they bring out a new law. But because these laws are only mental concoctions manufactured by inexperienced conditioned souls, they cannot give relief to human society. Formerly, although the kings were autocrats, they strictly followed the principles laid down by great sages and saintly persons. There were no mistakes in ruling over the country, and everything went perfectly. The citizens were completely pious. The king levied taxes legitimately, and therefore the situation was very happy. At the present moment, the so-called executive heads are more or less selected from materially ambitious persons who simply look after their own personal interests. They have no knowledge of the Shastras. In other words, the executive heads are fools and rascals in the strict sense of the terms, and the people in general are Sudras. This combination of fools and rascals and Sudras cannot bring about peace and prosperity in this world. Therefore, we find periodic upheavals in society in the forms of battles, communal riots, and fratricidal quarrels. Under these circumstances, not only are the leaders unable to lead the people towards liberation, but they cannot even give them peace of mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who lives on concocted ideas without reference to the Shastras never becomes successful and does not attain happiness or liberation after death. So the grim picture is described here in the words of Bhaktivedanta Swami's purport to this text, that there is no possibility of peace or success in our material life, because we're simply led by people, Prabhupada describes them on the level, people who are on the level of fools and rascals. They're relying on their own imperfect knowledge and imperfect senses to try to legislate some law and system of government. And that can never be successful. Human nature is such that we have four defects. We have imperfect senses. Yeah? Can anyone say my senses are perfect? Our senses are imperfect. You know, the eyes, our ears, our different senses, they're not perfect. We often make mistakes. If you drive a car, it's very easy to have an accident. You make some mistake. You know, senses are imperfect. Prabhupada said, even Mahatma Gandhi made a mistake. Kennedy also made a mistake. Even great men, they make mistakes. So, certainly we can also make mistakes. We're subject to illusion. The illusion comes that we identify with this body. We still have a tendency to identify with this body, even though we know we're not this body. So illusion is there. We have the propensity to cheat as well and be cheated by others. So these are the defects of conditioned life. With these defects, how can we ever lead people We cannot expect any perfect result. Godless people elect another godless person to be their leader. Another person who is also imperfect, who also is a servant of his senses, materially ambitious, and with his imperfect senses makes judgments which influence the lives of others in a bad way, in a negative manner. So we have to follow scriptures. Prabhupada, at the end of this purport, he refers to a verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. Yashastra vidim utrijya vartate kamakaraka nasasidim avapnoti nasukam na paramgatim. That if we disregard the scriptures and act independently and whimsically, then we can never achieve perfection, we can never be happy, and we can never achieve the supreme destination. We have to follow scriptures. The scriptures are the gift of God for living in this world. And it's meant, people are separating it. They're saying, no, that's religion. Religion has nothing to do with our ordinary life. But the scriptures are meant to teach us how to live in this world. We are seeing in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are seeing here in relation to Maharaj Prithu, it's relating to how the countries should be, how the people have to be governed, how they have to be led. They have to see the example of a God-conscious leader. It's very important. People are properly taught how to follow the scriptures. Without that, simply everyone remains on the level of sudras. Simply servants. We're all in this age of Kali Yuga. No one is making any spiritual progress. And what is the result? Simply we engage in sinful activities. We get some money and we will use it for sinful activity. People will buy cigarettes, they'll buy alcohol, they'll gamble, they'll do so many sinful activities. They don't know how to use money. And what is the result of all of that sin? They have to take another birth in the material world. So that in that way the human life is wasted. We have achieved the rare human life and we have not utilized it for the real purpose, which is to become God conscious. So that is a great waste. Having achieved this human form of life, we have the opportunity to inquire into the absolute truth. And if we do not inquire, if we just simply waste our life endeavoring only, working hard simply to fill the belly, simply to sleep a little more, then it is a waste of life. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining all of these different things. Srimad Bhagavatam is not just teaching us how to worship God, but it's teaching how we should live, how we should organize the society, how people should be protected, and how they should be properly educated to the real values of life. So Maharaj Prithu is told that if he does all these things, if he follows the scriptures, the result will be that very soon he will be blessed with the association of great personalities such as the four Kumaras. And similarly also in our life, if we also follow scriptures, if we dedicate ourselves to living a life of God consciousness as it is described in the scriptures, we can see how our own life will also improve and we can come to know God. And this is the result. And upon giving up this body, we never have to take another birth. Taktva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti so Arjuna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. If we understand the birth and the activities of Lord Krishna and how they are transcendental, then when we give up this body, we never have to take another birth again. And that is success. That is successful life. But if you get, again, we have to become a dog, you have to stand as a tree, you have to take another material body in this world, then it is a great shame. It is a failure. We have wasted this valuable human life. So many people are wasting their life. They're wasting their life. But this message of the scriptures is here. It is meant to save them from that. It is meant to open their eyes. Prabhupada often used to quote a statement from the Vedas that said, Tamasima Jyotirgama. Don't remain in the dark. Come to the light. So this is the light. Yeah, Krishna Surya Sama. Wherever there is Krishna, that is light. Where there is Krishna, there can be no Maya. There is no darkness. So Lord Chaitanya has come. He is teaching all of us how to come to the light. Through chanting the holy name of Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and worshipping Krishna. Lord Chaitanya instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, go everywhere, go door to door and tell everyone, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Siksha. Yeah, use your time to chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and hear about Krishna. And in this way, our life becomes successful. So we will stop. Is there any question, comment? Yes, Prabhu.
It is all right being heard from these scriptures about God and ourselves and elevating process, everything. But the time-consuming factor of materialistic education growing on, the syllabus being growing on, growing on, growing on. So that how to come away from that thinking and involve in this Krishna consciousness. Because the whole world from childhood being misdirected, how to direct them towards this Krishna consciousness, please.
Oh, you mean instead of material education, we should have spiritual education. How to do that? Yeah. That's a good question. Well, Srila Prabhupada certainly wanted, he instituted the Gurukulas, that, you know, young men especially could go to Gurukulas and they could be educated in the important things in life. Important things in life means basic knowledge, reading and writing, and developing also a sense of discipline and strengthening their character by being self-reliant and able to take care of themselves. So the Gurukula system is meant like that people from the beginning of life, they would be educated in these things. How to encourage people in this system? Well, we have to be disgusted with the material world. That is important. So long as we're thinking that this material world has got something to offer, then people will not be much inclined towards the Gurukula type of education. They'll be thinking that, no, my son, he has to get a good education. I want him to get a good job. I want him to make lots of money. You know, people, you know, we're all conditioned to think like that. We're thinking that if you don't have money, then your life is not successful. But this is not actually the case. This is just simply because we're thinking other people have got money, and if I don't have money, then I'm not in such a good position as they are in. But actually, the real values of life, it's not simply being able to make money, but it's having peace, control over the mind and senses. Being able to lead a life where one can develop good qualities. If one simply can make a lot of money, but if he's a man of low character, if he's simply a cheater and dishonest and has no moral principles and cannot control his senses, even though he's very wealthy, then what is the credit, you know? Someone makes a lot of money, but he makes it all by stealing and cheating people. So is that a great credit? You know, are we proud of that? He made a lot of money. He's very successful. And sometimes we see this even with politicians. You know, that politicians even make a lot of money by corruption. So is this a great credit? You know, this is disgusting. You know, this is not... The whole purpose of the Krishna conscious education, of spiritual education, is to develop good qualities. If we do not have good qualities, then our life is useless. And without having good qualities, it means we have not developed our devotion. Anyone who is a devotee, a genuine devotee of the Lord, will have good qualities. He will not be a person of low character. Every devotee develops the good qualities. Yasya deve para bhakti, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samaste asuraha harava bhaktasya kato mahadgana manoratena sati bhavato bahi. That if one is a devotee of Lord Krishna, then he gets the blessings of all of the different devatas, all of the different demigods, bless him and bestow good qualities on him. However, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, even though one may be very expert in some mystic yoga system, or he may be very expert in maintaining his family home, but if he is not a devotee of the Lord, then he's still on the material platform and he's struggling with his senses. Sometimes he's in goodness, sometimes he's in passion, and sometimes he's in ignorance. And he has not actually developed any good qualities, because he's simply under the control of the material energy. But if we become a devotee, then we are sure to develop good qualities. And we have to see how everyone who becomes Krishna conscious, we have to see how our life changes, how we start to develop better qualities. We start to wake up earlier in the morning. We start to pay more attention to cleanliness. We start to be more careful about what we speak or how we speak. And we start to utilize our time in more religious ways. Coming to the temple, we're more careful of what we eat and how we eat and where we eat. We start to develop good qualities. And this is true for everyone. In the scriptures, the example is there, how Narada Muni met a hunter who was maintaining himself by trapping animals and leaving them in almost a half-dead condition, very cruelly capturing animals and giving them a lot of pain before killing them. So Narada Muni instructed the hunter that he should change his ways, otherwise he was going to suffer similar treatment himself. So the hunter, after taking instruction from Narada Muni, in a short time, he became such a good devotee that when Narada Muni came to see him, the hunter was moving insects from the path. Some little insects were crawling on the ground and the hunter was moving them out of the way, so that he didn't even want to kill tiny insects like an ant. Previously, he'd been killing animals in the most cruel way, but after becoming a devotee, he could not even stand on a little insect like an ant. He was so careful about the well-being of other living entities. So this example is given to us to show us how once we become devotees, we change and we develop better qualities. So this is why it's important that everyone gets some spiritual education. And the more spiritual education we get, the better it is for us, for our well-being. And the earlier you can get it also, it's good. You know, if people can get it from the beginning of life, if young children are able to get this kind of education in the beginning of life, then it's a great benefit for them. It will give them strong character, they will develop good qualities, I can control their mind and senses. So yeah, we do want to encourage people in this way.
Maharaj, can you please share a few moments of yours you had with Srila Prabhupada?
Well, you know, I've already talked about that so many times before, you know. I mean, is there any questions on the text? Or on the subject of the class? Ananda Maya Prabhu.
Samita. At the same time, we often hear that by the end of his mission, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that I have another 50% of my mission to be done, and that is to establish Vanasham Dharma. So how to reconcile these two aspects?
Yes, but the type of Varnashram which Prabhupada wants to implement is Daivi Varnashram. It's not Varnashram as it was in the previous Yuga. You know, that should be understood. That when Prabhupada said, you know, especially here in Hyderabad on our farm, Srila Prabhupada spoke extensively about the need to implement Varnashram and in this engage people in the service of Krishna. That is the idea of Daivi Varnashram, that everyone should be taught that how they can work for, you know, for they can engage themselves in some activities for the pleasure, for the satisfaction of Krishna. This, performing their duties in God consciousness, working in different ways. The Krishna consciousness movement, we see like devotees who stay here in the temple, full time in the temple, they're concerned with Brahminical work. They're worshipping the deities and serving the deities, and they're also preaching, distributing literature and so on. So that is Brahminical work. But not everyone is able to stay engaged in such Brahminical work. People have different natures. Some people want to be businessmen, and other people, they just want to, you know, work in a job somewhere. They want to actually be engaged in some type of ordinary employment. So, and sometimes also it's necessary, maybe the grihasthas especially, usually, we find that grihasthas generally like to work outside so that they can, it's easier for them to maintain their families. But the idea of Daivi Varnashram, or as Prabhupada's desire to implement Varnashram, was to help people who cannot follow all the principles. That some people, you know, sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and they're not able to keep up the four principles and the daily chanting of 16 rounds. So such people, that they're not able to come to that level of being properly, very Brahminical, they can be engaged in different ways, in some other ways, in working in the service of Krishna. Particularly, you know, at farming, doing agricultural work, growing some crops and so on, and they can be offered for Krishna. People need to be engaged in different ways according to their propensities. Some people can look after the cows and take care of the cows. That is also very necessary for the Brahminical culture. We need to have also cow protection. So like that, everyone should be engaged so that they can satisfy according to their nature and working in this way for Krishna, in relationship to Krishna consciousness. And in this way they can purify their existence. Okay, so we will stop now. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.